Well, good morning again. So glad you could be with us. So glad I could be here. I'm excited to be here. I don't know about you. I'm always excited to be here, and I'm always excited to put on the earpiece and have an opportunity to speak to you what God is saying, what God is doing. And the readings today, really just as I... You know, I always start there. You do get various types of sermons from me. I always start in the readings, always start with the gospel, and then just begin to pray over it and say, Lord, what do you want to say? And sometimes just one word will jump out. This time was really unusual for me. Now, I know it's not for other clergy, but for me it was really unusual because I immediately saw a pattern, a theme in all the readings that I just couldn't get away from. Amen. So today we're going to talk about what that theme was, what it said to me, and what I believe it's saying to us. Amen. In our Old Testament reading, in Ecclesiastes, we hear, I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Have you ever tried to chase the wind? Anything we do, anything we try to accomplish within ourselves is meaningless. It's chasing the wind. I like to call it chasing your tail at work. You're chasing your own tail. You're never going to catch it. And if you do, you're going to regret it because it's going to hurt. In our psalm, why should I fear when evil days come, when wicked deceivers surround me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast of their great riches. Why should I fear them? That's what the psalmist is asking. He's saying, why should I fear someone who boasts in their own accomplishments? Because everything in this life is meaningless. It's like chasing the wind. You see a theme coming here? How about in Colossians, our New Testament reading? Put to death, therefore, what belongs to your earthly nature. And look it, here comes the list of the things that have to die. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. We all get that, right? But then he throws in one more. And greed, which is idolatry. He doesn't just call it out. He says why. Greed is idolatry. Doesn't Scripture tell us that we serve a jealous God? Didn't Jesus say, I am the Lord your God. Love me with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Don't put anyone or anything above me. Because guess what? Anything we put ahead of God is meaningless. And it's like chasing the wind. Because there's nothing there. There's nothing there to give us satisfaction. There's nothing there to fulfill us. I got to define the word because it helped me understand a little bit more. Why is greed idolatry? Well, we find it in the meaning of the word greed. Simply stated, it's a selfish and excessive desire. It's all about me. Greed is all about me. Now, we many times, and most of the time we are correct, the first place we assign greed is to money. Right? We get greedy. That's a greedy person. All right? But do you know that you can be greedy for more than just money? Did you? I'm shocked. I'm perplexed by that. Do you know that I can be greedy for fame? I can be greedy for power. I can be greedy for a lot of things that don't have a monetary value, but they have a value to my selfish desire. Now, let's look at our gospel today, because this is very interesting. Our gospel reading picked up at verse 13, and it says, "Someone in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.'" And then Jesus just went off on the dude. He did. He lit him up. And I'm thinking, Jesus, why are you being so tough on the guy? He's asking a question. But, you know, it was probably a legitimate question. Amen. And so I decided to do this little trick we call put it in context. So I went back to the first of the chapter of Luke, chapter 12. And read what was going on. Jesus was teaching the multitudes incredible truths about the love and the glory of God. Amen. He was teaching them about the Holy Spirit empowering them. Amen. And he was talking about spiritual things, maturing things, and things that had depth and roots to them. Amen. He was imparting heavenly knowledge to the people who were listening. And in the middle of that, this guy interrupts him and says, "Tell my brother to share his inheritance." Okay. What? I think it's safe to say that the gentleman that asked the question was not listening to a word that Jesus was talking about. I believe he was listening to the fact that he was probably the second born of two sons. His brother got 2/3 of the inheritance, which was customary in that day. And he got 1/3. And he was offended. And he wanted Jesus to make his brother give him and split it equally. More than likely. There's a lot of other things it could be. Here's another thing it could be. The older brother could have seized the estate and kept it all for himself. We don't know. That would not be customary, and that would really be frowned upon in the Jewish society of that time. And the older brother would probably have to deal with the elders if he did something like that. But we don't know for sure. Maybe he was trying to get Jesus to speak authority into this thing. But the whole point is, his mind was on earthly things while Jesus was teaching about heavenly things. Have we ever found ourselves there? Have we ever found ourselves? Let me ask you something. And I wasn't planning on saying this. But our dear sister Sharon this morning, she shared with us a word from God. Did we hear it? Did we really hear it? Or are we thinking about what we're having for lunch after service? I'm just saying. Were we in tune spiritually to what God was doing in our service this morning? Or were we distracted by earthly things, chasing the wind? Because I'm telling you, that word spoke to me this morning. Miss Ann's word spoke to me this morning. Miss Drew's word spoke to me this morning. The praise and worship spoke to me this morning. I had a little advantage on y'all. I knew I was going to preach today. I better be in tune to what God's doing. Amen. Or else you guys won't have me back. Thank you, Miss Sharon. What I'm saying is we can get that way. I'll never forget Cindy and I were many years ago had, and one more many, we had a young adult group that we were in the church at the time we were going to was All Souls Episcopal in Mandarin. We had a young adult group called Standing Room Only, because we wanted to have so many there that there would be standing room only, you know, that kind of stuff. I was in the middle of a very sensitive subject, which I will not go into great detail here. I was in the middle of a very sensitive subject with a group of young adults, 18 and older. And I'm telling you, I felt good about it. I had prepared, I had studied, I had my point by point by point, and I could tell it was registering. These young people, there must have been 20, 25 there this night. These young people, they were connecting. I could see it, you know, you can see it in their eyes. Trust me, I know when you're listening to me and when you're not. But I could see it in their eyes, and it wasn't they were just looking at me, wondering what I was wearing. They were hearing what I was putting out. They were really getting into it. And a hand went up. I'm thinking, wow. Yes, John. What can I do for you? I was just wondering, is tonight the night we're having pizza? What? What? Have you been hearing what I've been... I mean, come on, we've all dealt with stuff out of left field like that before. Trust me. Y'all can laugh at that story, but you guys have come up with some doozies too after a service. I'm just saying. But what I'm saying is we get distracted by the things of the world. The young man in that Bible study was distracted by he wanted pizza. The young man in the gospel today was distracted by an earthly possession. Amen. He did not see past that desire to see that he had heavenly possession. Amen. Yes, spewing right before him. Seeding, putting seeds in him. Now let's go to the parable. Now we're going to set it up. Because, again, Jesus spoke pretty harsh to him. And he started by telling the parable. And I'm going to reread it because we need to hear it. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God." Boy, so many things jumped out at me at this. Read my mail in certain areas, certain time periods of my life, and dare I say, even certain areas of my life today. Let's look at this for a minute. A rich man, he was already blessed. He was already blessed. The scripture says he was a rich man. He already had an abundance for him to be designated as a rich man. Produced a good crop. Let's talk about that for a minute. He was obviously a farmer. How many things in his crop did he really grow? Did he really grow everything? Or did he just plant it in the ground? He didn't make it grow. It's not him. It's nature that God designed. So who gave him the increase in the first place? God gave it to him. And obviously God had done a lot more for him because he's a rich man. So he didn't really grow the crop. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, Cindy and I have three sons. I did not make a baby. God created life. Come on now. It's God that does this for us. It is God who blesses us. So let's see who the rich man decided to seek counsel from. He thought to himself, what? I mean, look it. I wish every thought of mine would be to God first. But this is the real world. We do get distracted. But I am pleased to announce to you that if I get richly blessed in a certain area, my first thought goes to God. I promise you that. Now, the little things I'm not so good with. Big things I'm good with. You know, we've had Alan and Katie here with the three girls. We've had the opportunity to have our family together numerous times over the last 3 weeks. And what a joy it's been. All my boys heard one thing from me every time. I sit in a corner where I can get a view of everything. And I just tell them what a blessed man I am. What a blessed man I am. 11 grandchildren. I mean, God has richly blessed me. And I had nothing to do with it. I didn't. I benefit from it. But it's my blessing. But this guy, who had no control over whether he was going to have a good crop or a bad crop, he could have done everything right, gone by the farmer's almanac, planted at night at 3 a.m. in the morning so the seed would germinate properly. He could have done all that, but he still couldn't have given the increase. Only God could give the increase. So he said to himself, let's go back to this guy. He said to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he answers himself, aha, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barn. And I will build bigger ones. I will store all of my grain and my goods. And then I will say to myself, you have plenty. Be at rest. Be merry. You know what? We can lull ourselves into a false sense of security. Our heart is wicked. The heart of man is wicked. And it needs a Holy Spirit infusion to get rid of these self-centered things. But, you know, the heart can lie to us. Oh, that's all right. Oh, nobody will notice. Oh, he didn't really mean that. Other people interpret that scripture to say, go back to Lost in Space. Danger, Will Robinson, danger. The robot would go off and warn everybody that there's trouble on the horizon. We ought to have that little robot in us. Danger, Scott, danger. Because I decide what is best for me. And I don't ask God what to do. That's why Jesus was so hard on this man who interrupted his teaching. He was hard on him because Jesus read right through the question. It had nothing to do with the older brother was treating him wrong. It had everything to do with the younger brother was greedy. Amen. That's why Jesus told this parable. Because he said, look it. Through this parable, what he's saying is it's not ours to decide what we're going to do with what God blesses us with. Now look it, we all have obligations. We all have legitimate needs. But our first attention ought to be when God blesses us, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, thank you for this blessing. How should I apply it? Is there anything I can do with this blessing to bless others? God, what do you want me to do with this? I believe that's the message today that God is trying to say. If we invest in our earthly possessions, we're chasing the wind. Amen. We're investing in something that's not going to be here tomorrow. Amen. But if we're investing in heavenly things, we are going to reap an eternal reward. And that eternal reward doesn't mean we're going to have an extra crown or we're going to have extra riches in heaven. What it means is we're going to be able to look across and see the fruit of the testimony of our life before God. That's what we're looking for. I mean, come on. God didn't save us for everything to be peachy keen, groovy cool, just for us. If that was the case, and salvation meant punch your ticket, you're in heaven. As soon as we get saved, he just needs to take us up there. But that's not the case. He leaves us here. Why? So we can be little Christ in the world today. That we can shine forth his light. That we can speak of his great wonders. We can lead others to him. And give them hope and peace and comfort. Anything else we do is chasing wind. I got one amen. Can I have a few more? Thank you. Because that's some good stuff, y'all. I know it got me. All right. I think that's all I got to say about that. However, let me tell you something, as a priest that has an honor of serving this congregation, we are blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. We are blessed with members who know how to give. We are blessed, you guys, faithful. So this is not about greed of money. Amen. To the hearers here today. So please don't take it this way. Because that's not the way it's intended. The way it's intended is to stir us up and motivate us to look at other areas in our life. Time, talent, service. What else are we being greedy with? I promise you, you're not being greedy with your money. Amen. You're not. Amen. This is a giving congregation. Just ask EPS. Amen. Just ask Arlington Middle School. And the backpack giveaways. Just ask those kids that are going to be here next weekend for school supplies. You guys, always, this congregation, this church, above and beyond anything we could imagine. Amen. When Father David and Father Looker have stood up here before and said there's a need in the congregation of $500... you know what? More times than not, $8,000-$9,000 comes in. Amen. For $500. Because we're givers, y'all. Amen. We are givers. Hallelujah. It's a blessing to be a giver. and not a taker. Because the truth is, we can't outgive God. We can't outgive Him. But we need to continue to look for those opportunities. We need to continue to learn ways of asking God, how can I serve? How can I give? What do you need? What do you want? How can I be your example in this world? How can I be a light in the darkness? How can I be the salt of the world? Isn't that what He's called us to do? Isn't that what He's asked from us? My personal biggest battle right now that I fight is time. Time. This is my time. What am I going to do with my time? I'm just confessing here. Well, I really need to go do this tonight. There's a meeting, or somebody needs a visit in the hospital, or I really should call this person and check on them, but man, that show's on tonight. I really want to watch it. Come on. Oh, I'm sorry. Am I the only one? Okay. You know, God wants all of us. Look, it's okay to watch a show. It's okay to play a round of golf. It's okay to enjoy a party. But it shouldn't be our priority. It shouldn't be the desire of the focus of our week. God needs to be the focus of our week. And then you know what? If God allows me the opportunity to play 18 holes with Kevin Pacinger and beat him, then that's a blessing. That's a blessing from God. That's a blessing from Him that I need to thank Him for. Thank you, God. But even in the little things, we need to, you know, some mornings I get up and I don't want to go to work. I don't want to go to work. I want to go to the beach. These last 3 weeks have been very hard on me. Amen. I took my week vacation. And then Alan and Katie came back. And my granddaughters are there. And I had to go to work every day. My grandbabies are at the house. And Cindy got to be there every day because she's off for the summer. I got a little jealous. But you know what I found myself doing? Even in the midst of that, going into work and thanking God that I had a job. Amen. Thanking God that He provided me with the opportunity that I could spend all this time with them. And that my wife could enjoy her grandchildren and her sons. Amen. Thank you, God, for this opportunity. Amen. Thank you, God, for the paycheck. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the worship department. You could go down a list. You're never going to be able to thank God for all the blessings in our lives. Amen? As we go forth, Church of Messiah, Lord, let your word be true today. Just send your revival. Send your spirit throughout, Lord. Let us be a people who gladly give away all that you are blessing us with. And let us, Lord, be a people that continue, come back, look to you, and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for all your blessings, for your abundance, for your hand, for the many blessings of this life. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.